Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bring in show music, please.
Hi, I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on Squawk Pod. Sports billionaire Michael Rubin of Fanatics, where fans can buy collectibles, apparel, soon make bets. He says sports may be a recession hedge.
There's no question that every consumer business is affected by what's going on right now, but what's different is that sports has so much secular growth.
Activists hitting the world's largest asset manager on what they see as sustainability hypocrisy.
So talk about bedfellows or strange bedfellows. For the last 6 months, BlackRock's
right.
been taking it from the right.
And all the rest of the stories that got us squawking today. The latest in China's zero COVID policy, tracking technology, and another election night after another election night. Have we done this before?
That election's coming. We're in election season.
It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Becky by in 3, 2, 1. Cue it, please.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squawk Box here on CNBC. We're live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Becky Quick, along with Joe Kernan and Andrew Ross Sorkin.
I'm just kind of glad to be back here. I threw off the shackles of that jacket. Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
Yesterday.
So constricting.
Threw off the, now,
your
now
suit
I can't,
jacket? Your suit jacket?
Yeah. Now I can't. I'm not going to be able to breathe again because I got to hold everything in. But, yeah.
You look good in a jacket.
It's so constricting.
It's slimming.
Andrew.
It's
so
slimming.
It changes.
Worse. Huh? You could have made the fashion faux pas that I'm wearing today.
What's that?
I don't know. I went a little out there on a limb, and I don't think
do you
it was
want
the right
me
choice.
To go into they know nothing so that this yeah, that saying. Way this tape can be played forever and she'll be wearing
like, oh, please let nothing
like Aaron Burnett's
today.
Giraffe this be, outfit.
This is going to be the shirt I can never forget.
But
right? What are we supposed to say about this shirt?
Thanks. She can hide in the jungle and no one will see her. You just see
I
her face.
I brought this on myself. This was totally my fault.
I like it. I do. Well, although are we allowed to say that? I'm ambivalent.
Sure, I'll take it today.
You won't report me. I'm ambivalent about it. Look, he's petrified. Are you going to say anything at all?
Make me feel
I wore
better.
A tie a couple weeks ago, and I had a friend who emailed my wife about the tie and said
not
never again.
Wow.
Said, love your husband, but, you know.
Oh, my God, you got it
that
from
tie
the
wow. in the garbage.
Okay, so, they're going to move us on. I feel it coming.
Let's talk about China. Given what we were just talking about with energy and everything else, COVID restrictions there being eased, that continued overnight. Authorities saying that people will no longer need to show negative tests in order to travel between different parts of the country. The new rules also bar officials from arbitrarily locking down neighborhoods, shutting businesses, and restricting the ability of residents to go about their daily lives. The National Health Commission, they're formalizing other recent changes to COVID controls, including allowing more people to quarantine at home. So in some cases, progress being made, but there could be a temporary some period of time that's going to be, you know, yeah. a big, big challenge there health-wise.
Maybe time for a they know nothing moment. Maybe I'll do it this time in terms of the Fed that keeps raising to put us into a recession.
I'm ready for it. Maybe wait till tomorrow. I can wear something a little more.
You would be happy if this was the moment that was preserved. You're looking good. That tie's perfect. The knot, center dimple, everything else. So you're good. You're good with being.
I have never really thought about it in the context of the clothing. The
posterity.
Yes.
It's more the hair. Makeup.
The people have spoken.
NBC projects that Senator Raphael Warnock will hold on to that seat in Georgia, defeating Republican challenger Herschel Walker in yesterday's runoff election. That gives Democrats a 51-49 majority in the Senate. And with this win, Democrats will gain majorities on key Senate committees. That's the difference between when it was 50-50. It could also lessen the outsized influence wielded by a few moderate Democrats, especially, remember, Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema no longer will be that sort of swing vote where they had so much power. a lot of senators up in 2 years again. It's crazy with the staggered.
It's always a third.
Yeah.
Right. Every time.
A lot of them. But a lot of vulnerable, I guess, Democrats, not as many vulnerable Republicans. So we're back on that election's coming. Yep. That election's coming. We're in election season.
Because it's been 3 weeks since the last one.
Meantime, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink now facing some calls to resign over accusations of hypocrisy over the firm's focus on ESG issues. The UK-based investment firm Bluebell Capital Partners releasing a letter that it had sent to Fink last month. Bluebell, which holds roughly $250 million, I should say, in assets and is known for waging campaigns against prominent companies, argues that BlackRock changed position several times on investing in thermal coal production, in contrast to Fink's widely publicized sustainable commitments. Now, in a statement to CNBC, BlackRock says, in the past 18 months, Bluebell has waged a number of campaigns to promote their climate and governance agenda. BlackRock Investment Stewardship do not support their campaigns, as we did not consider them to be in the best economic interests of our clients. So talk about bedfellows or strange bedfellows. You know, these folks are effectively saying that they're not going.
Coming at them from the left.
You know, this is what's so interesting.
Yeah.
For the last 6 months, BlackRock's been, you know, taken it from the right. They've also, by the way, not just they've taken it from the left. The state of New York pension, I think New York controller and others have written letters. But now this is an activist fund, effectively trying to make an activist campaign against.
But he hasn't done enough. They're not. But I love their response. We would not let ESG influence our investment decisions and our fiduciary responsibility to maximize shareholder value. That's what the whole issue is from people attacking from the other side. Vivek or whomever saying your fiduciary responsibility is to pension plans, profit sharing plans, to maximize your return. And by not making it all about ESG, you're not maximizing your return.
I'm going to say one thing about this, and we don't need to debate it a million times because we do this.
But you see what I'm saying.
But I believe, I mean this as genuinely as I humanly can say it.
Yeah.
I truly believe that and this is Larry Fink and BlackRock's policy or pioneering conversation around climate and things was focused on the fiduciary side of it. Meaning what he was saying for the last 10 years is, I believe that climate is going to be a good investment. And the truth is, it has turned out to be a good investment.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I look at because he thought public policy was going to push things.
Exactly. But we have seen where good intentions lead.
Hopefully to good places.
Well, over in Europe, it hasn't near term. And allowing Putin to have all that leverage because they abandon legacy energy to try to quickly transition has put us into the pickle we're in right now.
But I think that has put a laser focus on
BlackRock shares a lot of the blame for that.
I think everybody sees the problems in Europe and does not want to repeat that. That's why Larry Fink is saying fossil fuels are going to be around for the next 70 years.
Right.
And by the way,
this activist investor,
by the way, $250 million stake. I mean, it's a company that's got $160 million in market cap. So it's less than 0.25%.
The catastrophic aspect of climate change. There's still a debate that goes on about that, all right? So if Larry Fink has a hysterical view in his own mind of what he needs to do to protect his clients from the rising seas, and that ends up hurting shareholder value, I don't care about Larry Fink's opinion on this.
But
I don't.
That's not what he's saying.
He's making a decision that may be dead wrong for all these clients that didn't give him.
He's not making a decision is the point.
He's voting the shares of these in proxy materials.
What? Darius Adamczyk yesterday said that every customer he talks to is.
I was arguing with him too.
We did, you have something called a sustainability index, and we survey a lot of executives through some of the U.S. and companies, actually countries throughout the world. Did you know, for example, that sustainability in the U.S., at least, is now ahead of meeting financial commitments? It's the same way in Latin America. Right. So I do think it has people's attention.
Right.
But, you know, what's going to happen? We're seeing a lot of interest on the part of customers to drive some of these solutions.
But he says every customer he talks to is interested in doing these things.
He's got the Euro.
North Carolina is where.
But he's got the Euro view of all this.
If you are somebody who is trying to do business and every one of these CEOs says they want to do this because they are being tasked, whether it be by their shareholders, whether it be by just public policy and where the money's going in Washington, that tells you.
Well, there's
going to
be pressure from the other side, and it's already started. And it's been probably more
focused
prevalent. It's probably been more prevalent from the other side of you're crazy to not that for every Darius a gem. There's a Jamie Dimon said, I will absolutely not guarantee you I won't fund fossil fuel.
I don't think what Darius said and what Jamie said are counterintuitive, that they're taking and picking sides.
You mean counter to each other?
Yeah, right. Counter to each other.
Businesses are being, dragged into all these various issues. We defend our people. We defend our rights. We have our own right to free speech. If a state wants to do something like that, so be it. We're one of the big, we support all the big oil companies, who, by the way, are the ones who are going to pay for most of this transition to reduce CO2. They're doing the best job at all. So, my view is that we will do the right thing, and some of those states will question it, and they have the right to question it.
I don't think that what they're saying contradicts. I think what Darius says is I'm doing what customers tell me they want. If there's a market for it, I'm going to sell it.
Well, the funny thing is, and it's in all politics, it's funny to see where a moderate person can be attacked from. It can be attacked from the right or the left. And in this case, I read it and I'm like, oh, good. This is someone's, holding BlackRock's feet to the fire for some of these ridiculous things that they've pursued. And I go, oh, my God, it's from the other side. He hasn't gone left enough with.
Go look at the voting record. See.
Well, I know. Well, then they should be mad because and I've seen that criticism of BlackRock that when push comes to shove, he still is in bed with fossil fuel and guns and defense and everything else.
Well, so I think funny. The larger issue is that he's been writing these letters, which have created a conversation in the boardroom.
Yeah, it signaled a lot of virtue, so much that I think he might be the most virtuous person that I've ever met.
Two women, though, sued Apple this week. This over the dangers of its AirTag tracking devices in the hands of stalkers. Now, both women say the devices were used by their former partners to track them. They argue the company failed to heed warnings from advocacy groups and news reports, saying in the filing, with a price point of just $29, it's become a weapon of choice of stalkers and abusers. In February, Apple said it would update AirTag to make it harder for people to use them to track others without their knowledge. The lawsuit called those safeguards woefully inadequate because they don't offer automatic protections for Android users.
I mean, so, this is a serious issue, actually, the idea of being tracked without your knowledge. I think if you have an iPhone, there are going to be ways to alert you, but I think the Android issue is a real one. What if you don't have a phone, if there's something else along those lines? You have heard more and more stories about people who have been tracked in the process.
I've heard some weird things that after a Tinder date, woman goes home, finds a guy's earbuds in her. He slipped the earbuds into her purse or something. And they're two little things. Well, you can track those. You can know where they are. And she called the guy and said, "What are your earbuds doing?" And he goes, are they there? I wondered where they were. I mean, they don't fall into someone's purse. And then she said, you were doing this to trap me. And he really didn't have a good excuse
I don't know, but at the same time, there's no at the same time. Except
with
say,
kids?
I put them in bags. I put them in all sorts of stuff.
No, it's
the utilities.
It's the safeguards.
Right, I know.
The safeguards, I think, are an issue of finding a way because it's the unintended consequences of something.
I know parents that have, find my iPhone gets turned off with their kids or something, and then they're turning it back on and without even telling them. So, because that's a pretty powerful.
We're well intentioned. You're probably paying the bill, and the answer needs to be the kid. You leave this on, or I'm taking the phone back.
Exactly.
Which is what we have said. You don't turn the iPhone thing off, or you don't get a phone.
Your kids still want to stay home, but you'll see someday.
Someday they're going to leave the nest.
Where the hell they are. Yeah.
They're going to leave the nest and turn off my iPhone, and then. Yeah. Right.
No, but to me, the answer is who's paying the bill?
Unless they're millennials, then you don't need to really worry about it.
Yeah. At Joe Squawk, send all your comments there.
Cheese will be next.
Yes, follow our team on Twitter, at Joe Squawk, at Becky Quick, and at Andrew R. Sorkin. You can also follow the show at Squawk CNBC. Coming up next, sports platform Fanatics hits a $31 billion valuation in its latest funding round. Founder Michael Rubin joins us.
Our biggest business, which is Fanatics Commerce, which will be, next year will be close to a $7 billion division. That business is going to grow nearly 20%, but I think we're growing 25%, maybe even 30% had the economy been stronger.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem.
Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
You're listening to Squawk Pod.
Up and Andrew, Q.
Good morning and welcome to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We're live at the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Andrew Ross Sorkin along with Becky Quick and Joe Kernan.
Shopping season is underway for retailers, but at the Business Roundtable annual meeting, we ask Walmart CEO Doug McMillon whether inflation could dampen the holiday spirit for consumers.
They're still stressed. I mean, we serve everybody. Americans come to Walmart. We've got some customers who are more budget conscious that have been under inflation pressure now for months. Now, it really started changing in March, April of this year. And that sustained pressure in some categories, I think, is something that customers are having to deal with as we approach Christmas.
And joining us now with more on the state of the consumer and a big announcement of his own, Michael Rubin, CEO of Fanatics. I don't know whether you have an elastic demand business. I don't. Okay, the couple months. You're funding a couple months ago, $27 billion. You got another funding you can talk about today. You got $1.5 billion that values your company at $31 billion. It just keeps going up, up, up.
Well, we think we're just getting started, first and foremost, and we think we have an enormous opportunity in front of us. And you know, we've been at this for 11 years now, but I mean, we're truly in the first inning of the game. So. You know, we've built a nice business in Fanatics Commerce, which is our, you know, kind of leading licensed business. The collectibles business that we started 2 years ago is doing really well. And we're excited to enter gaming. By the way, with you as our number one customer, I mean, we're going to crush gaming.
So you're in the
direct
first,
transfer from CNBC
to Fanatics. Are you
CNBC
in the first inning or the first quarter? Let's say first quarter might be more. We got nine
like,
more of these?
We feel like we're in the first inning.
Oh, my God. So what I was going to add, I don't know whether Fanatics, does inflation, does a recession, does it cool things off, or is that?
Of course.
It does, a little.
Yeah, I mean, our business this year, our biggest business, which is Fanatics Commerce, which will be, you know, next year will be close to a $7 billion division, you know, that business is going to grow nearly 20%, but I think we're growing 25%, you know, maybe even 30% had the economy been stronger. I think every business that sells to the consumer is affected by what's going on right now. And
you
need to be
more disciplined. Are you seeing that already?
Definitely. We've been seeing it, I think, really since, you know, kind of May, June. You saw kind of a deceleration, but it's still a really strong business. I mean, e-commerce sales this holiday season, which I think is the best barometer, it's the most recent barometer, we're up about 20%. But we're super cautious every day. You need to be conservative.
But is it different in terms of volume, number of products, or the kind of product? I mean, we were talking to Andy Jassy last week, and he was saying, you know, people were buying crazy big TVs. Now they're still buying the TVs, they're just buying smaller TVs.
It's very clear the consumers, they're spending, but they're being careful about trying to stretch their dollars. So they, you know, we spent a lot of time having millions of deals available for Black Friday and Cyber Monday and the last, you know, the Turkey Five that people call it. And people care a lot about getting a bargain right now.
Look, our top sellers are still jerseys, hats, T-shirts, you know, Mitchell Ness, which we acquired earlier this year. But there's no question that every consumer business is affected by what's going on right now. But I think if you have what's different is that sports has so much secular growth. And I think that is probably the one thing.
It's a second derivative problem for you. It's not that growth is down. It's not that the sales are down. It's the sales growth might be moderating slightly.
We went into last year and this year thinking logistics would be more challenged. You know, business would be more complicated. And that when the government stopped giving away free money, the comps would get more complicated. It wasn't, you know, there were no surprises for us this year, to be honest.
Well, I just wonder how that plays out in the gaming industry. Obviously, it's a huge, fast-growing industry. There's a lot of competition there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, we watch it in our business, too. People who were day trading had a lot of excess cash sitting around during the day, were willing to put that money to work in the market in almost a gambling sort of mentality. Yeah. How
gaming
does that play
is
out?
More, I'd say, recession resistant than other businesses. So I'd think if we would have been up 25%, now we're up 20% in our core e-commerce, you know, push on the merchandise business, I think gaming will feel it a little bit, but I think they'll feel it a little bit less, to be honest.
Did you see any bump in when you had to replace your whole wardrobe with clothes three sizes smaller? Did you see any bump in
I'm definitely
Did you replace your entire wardrobe with size whatever?
Definitely, 100%. I'll be the first to say.
Guy looks like $1 million. Maybe a couple billion, actually. He looks great.
He looks like $10 billion.
First of all, the weekly shot is amazing. The guy, Dr. Lou Aroney, who prescribed it to me, is also amazing. He's like the most innovative weight loss guy. And I started this about a year ago. It's been life-changing for me.
I'm going to get a shot. I'm not going to have any more wrinkles.
Yeah.
Okay?
I've got a question about the gaming world, which is, do you think it's too competitive? A lot of companies have given away a lot of money trying to get market share.
Yeah.
And there's also then the question of whether ESPN, under Bob Iger, will ultimately either get into the gaming business or not, and what that may do to the larger sort of landscape.
So let me say, I went to our board in March of 2021 when valuations were at the highest. And I walked in with a thesis that said, we desire to be the number one gaming business long-term, a decade from now, globally. And I think people would have thought we were crazy if we hadn't already done that in the merchandise business and the collectibles business. And our thesis was, if you look outside of the U.S., there are so many companies that are really profitable, good businesses. Flutter, Entain, Bet365, you know, there's $10 billion plus of EBITDA outside of North America in online sports betting and iGaming. Then if you look at the offline casinos in the U.S., they're also really good businesses, MGM, right. Caesars, Penn Gaming, et cetera. Yep. And so we just looked at the economics, and what you saw was the whole environment started giving away free money with crazy marketing costs. And so what you saw is it's like in the beginning of anything big, like when we started the internet in 1999, nothing made sense. And then by 2001, it started really making sense. And so I think what you're seeing now is marketing is starting to rationalize, promotion is starting to rationalize, and there will be a good long-term business here. Then you just have to say, what is it worth? And you say, what are they going to make? And put a 12, 15 multiple against it, and that's what it's worth long-term, and then discount it back.
But then the answer is you're only as smart as your dumbest competitor, just like in the airlines, right? If they're going to give away money to acquire customers. You
definitely, but the whole business is rationalized. Right. And our belief is what makes very different about Fanatics is we have, we own half of Lids that has 1,300 stores, okay? That's great for customer acquisition. We have close to 100 million customers in the Fanatics database. We're gonna do 50 million orders in North American e-commerce this year. So we have the most transactionally driven sports digital brand. And on top of that, we have a big customer database. We have the ability to talk to customers. We have these relationships with sports properties. So I'd say the biggest cost of online sports betting and iGaming is marketing, and we have the best market advantage by far and away.
What's your gamble on the ESPN of it all?
Yeah, look, I think ESPN's great contact, great content. It's going to be a big business long term. So do I believe that ESPN will be a viable driver of a gaming business, whether they do it directly or indirectly? Absolutely.
Would you ever want to partner with them?
We want to partner with anybody we can make money with. And by the way, different than most people, we don't want to partner with people that we can't make money with because we believe that we actually want it to be a profitable business. And, Fanatics has real free cash flow in 2022. All the money you talked about us raising is for M&A because there's a great environment. We love these environments.
You're approaching monopoly. So we were watching the Bengals.
No, we're not, actually.
We were watching the Bengals. And Joe Burrow, did you see his Bengals hat, which was kind of cool looking?
No, but hopefully it was a Fanatics Bengals hat.
What's that?
Hopefully it was a Fanatics Bengals hat.
When he was it was. And my wife said, I'm going to get you that hat for Christmas. And I go, no, that'll ruin it for the Bengals, so don't do that. Or Bengals.
I agree with that as well.
But she looked up, it's a Fanatics hat. Of course it was.
Yeah.
Was it going to be anything else?
Well, we believe if we keep, and I'm really serious when I say this, we believe if we keep innovating for the fan. Every business we get into, we say we don't want to be in it if we can't do it much better for the consumer, if we can't make a great business for the sports properties and the athletes that we work with and the players' associations, and if we can't make a lot of money from it long term. And so, we believe there's a lot of innovation still to come. Like, if you look in the core merchandise business, I just went to our newest fulfillment center in Maryland a few weeks ago, and we used to spend $30 million to operate a fulfillment center and had 1,500 associates. Now we spend $80 million to open it. It's fully robotic and has 250 people working there. And now we can ship orders more quickly. So now when you place an order, it's out the door in a few hours versus a day and a half because of the automation that comes. So we're always working to automate everything that we do.
I have a Nike question.
Yeah.
When you guys do Nike branded product,
yeah,
how does that work?
Yeah, so I think
you know, look, Nike's the most incredible brand in the world, and it's, you know, I've you know, most of the, you know, most of the products I wear are Nike shoes, and I'm actually a pretty big shoe guy. What I think if you ask team owners, sports properties, what they'd say is they're so excited to be in business with Nike because of the marketing that they bring to the sport and because of the creativity that they bring. But they're not, licensed sports is not core to what they do. It's a very small percentage of their business. Right. So for us, and a lot of people don't know this, anything that's made with NFL, Major League Baseball, now the top colleges that start in 2024, the Tokyo Giants we just announced a few weeks ago. Yeah, that's all made by Fanatics.
Right. No, that's so fascinating to me. Yeah. And I don't think people appreciate that or know that.
They don't. And the reason that Nike does, and the reason the sports properties do it, is everyone feels like we're all winning together because Nike gets the sports marketing benefit to help drive their massive footwear and apparel business. What the sports property team owners get and fans get is, you know, we're growing the business much more quickly because we wake up and we go to bed obsessed with how to do the best job for the fan. So the results have been great. Since these businesses have moved from Nike to Fanatics, we've been able to grow the business and better satisfy Nike sports fans and the sports properties.
You know, people that do finally have FU money, and I think I saw that on Billions. And
yeah.
So people that do have it, they love buying sports teams. Anyway, I mean, Bomber, why is he on it? Because it's fun. Wes, all these guys that own sports teams. Any way you can structure this so you can stay in all these businesses and maybe get back into that someday? Or
you know, for me, it was actually an easier decision than people think. Like, look, the only sports team that I really bleed is the Sixers. But at the end of the day, the opportunity we had...
You're not going to own the Sixers?
The opportunity we had at the Fanatics was so much
bigger. There's no way to structure it so that you could...
You know, for me... you know, we had so much conflict with the league rules. You can't have individual deals with athletes. We have 3,000 deals with athletes. You can't take bets on your own team. You can't have players that are investors, you know, in your business. You can't have agents that are investors.
The game
in your
you
business.
Love winning is your business.
It's so fun. I do 18 hours a day.
You could open a record company too with all your content. You could do so many different things. You only want to make money though.
I'm not driven by making money. What I'm driven is kind
winning.
Of innovating and
yep.
winning.
Well, then you want to own the Sixers again.
We have a massive opportunity at Fanatics. Create the truly global digital sports platform, do it in merchandise, do it in gaming, do it.
Would
do
you
it
buy a casino company so that you have the synergies in person?
Brick and mortar.
Like yeah, I don't think brick and mortar casino is something that we want to directly own, but I think, you know, could we be an investor in something over time? Potentially. The most important thing, the biggest thing I did wrong at my old company, GSI Commerce, that eBay bought, was we did too many things not well enough. So if there's one thing I can tell you, I wake up and go to bed every day, like violently focused on how do we do great in the business that we're in. And we say no to 99% of things that people ask us. And what that does is creates a better experience for the fan, a better experience for the sport.
All right, next story.
But here's the good news.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
Next on Squawk Pod. One record-setting mega deal on the baseball diamond. We'll be right back.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is Squawk Pod from CNBC with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Here's Joe.
Yankee slugger Aaron Judge has reportedly signed a 9-year contract worth $360 million to remain with the Yankees. That's according to The Athletic, the publication. He was being aggressively pursued by the Giants, San Francisco Giants. Judge is the reigning AL MVP, coming off a season in which he hit 62 home runs, breaking Roger Maris's American League single season record. He also hit over 300, which is crazy.
Have you seen him in person?
Crazy. He's 6'8".
He is huge.
I know.
It's just like standing.
6'8". Well, you can see him when he's like standing at the plate. It's like, yeah. It's like
you're in the wrong sport. We thought football, right? Like,
yeah.
Look out when he hits the
right.
ball.
Right. Yeah. That's what they said. He was being courted by the Giants. The New York Giants.
New York Giants.
No, it was
right.
The San Francisco Giants. He's great. He's a great player.
I like him. He's fun to watch. It's entertaining.
I don't know. You need a guy that you know, in the postseason, that's when you peak. You got to peak in the postseason.
But you can grow into that. And I have to say, watching in the stadium, like the whole stadium stops to see what he's doing. And anytime you have a player that everybody just like stops what they're doing, stops talking to watch and see what happens, that's worth the price of admission.
I'm back to thinking, even though it might be boring, but guys like Verlander or Max Scherzer or DeGrom, no, pitching.
Pitching with the...
It's like with golf. You drive for show, but you putt for dough, which is a big problem for me.
Verlander in the first game of the series final, World Series.
No, I know. You won him for that, too. But, you know, the Yankees, we had... the Yankees had Gerrit Cole, and you pay that guy for the postseason, and then when it doesn't happen, it's like, why...
Aaron Judge seems young to me. Like, give him a little time.
Right.
9 years, I think you end up doing that. And, again, it was an entire season's worth of packing people in the seats and making sure people were watching the game.
If
we watched
every
game to see when he was going to hit the...
If I get you a DraftKings account, you're going to be so... Like, it's like exponentially made me just interested in everything. Everything for $5 a bet. Fun.
And you call him cheap. You're like watching every game.
No, I didn't call him cheap.
I agreed with him.
I agreed with him when he said he was...
I admire frugality, as you know.
Yes.
I think it's a great trait.
Yes.
And that's Squawk Pod for today. Thanks for listening, as always. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern and follow Squawk Pod wherever you get your podcasts. You'll get the best of our show every single day, plus a little extra, interviews and analysis, even the jokes that you can't miss. We'll meet you right back here tomorrow.
Now we are clear. Thanks, guys.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.